Thanks, Dwayne, for reading that for us. It took me a moment to unmute my... I haven't done this in like months, so I'm like, what is this thing again? I don't even remember. It's good to be here with you this morning and be able to bring the word this morning. As was evident from the passage, we're talking about anxiety this morning, about anxiousness. And personally, I love it when I come up onto the stage to preach and the application has already been said in the songs that we sing. So can we put up the verse 2 of that last song that we sang? This is where we're going to end this morning. This is the answer to our anxiety. Christ, my all in all, the joy of my salvation, and this hope will never fail. Heaven is our home. Through every storm, my soul will sing. Jesus is here. To God be the glory. It goes on the chorus to say, Christ is enough for me. But before we get there, we've got to get through the rest of it. And to be honest with you, I'm feeling a little bit of anxiety myself in giving this sermon, and you might be feeling a little bit of anxiety about hearing a sermon on anxiety. And why is that? I think that it's because this can be a touchy subject at times. This is a subject that gets really personal, really deep into the depths of our souls and our being. It can be offensive. Can be offensive because it's talking about the things that we worry about, the cares that we have. And so I want to say right from the outset that my goal this morning is first and foremost to preach the gospel to our anxieties. This means that I'm not looking to offend any of us as individuals, but I'm looking to strike against this sin that so often, for all of us struggle with this. This sin that so often robs us of the joy in the gospel of Christ. See, the reality of the matter is that no matter where you come from or who you are, every single one of us has concerns. Every single one of us is tempted to worry. We are all tempted to have anxiety about something. We worry about how we're going to get our kids to two different soccer practices and a music lesson that all start at the same time. Somebody's laughing, they've experienced that. We worry about whether our bank account will be showing a black number at the end of the month or whether it will be red. We worry about our vehicles surviving the cold. Now, praise be to God, it's a little bit warmer now, but I certainly had to boost my car multiple times and wondered if one day it would just not happen again with how cold it's been. We worry if our crops will get enough rain this summer. We worry about our cows giving birth to calves in the frigid temperatures that we just had. We wonder if we will even survive if we go out there again to help them in that process. From kids to animals to crops to finances to vehicles to family and friends and jobs and so much more, every single one of us will have anxiety, or at least be tempted to have anxiety about something. And so this morning we're going to examine what Jesus had to say to us about this 2,000 years ago. But first, I want to be honest with you about an anxiety of mine that I had very recently. Last weekend, my anxiety was, to be frank, death. As many of you may have noticed, I was not here last weekend. That's because I was in Vancouver for a wedding. No, I wasn't afraid of dying at the wedding, okay? The wedding was great, the wedding was fine, they're happily married, it's great. What I was worried about was the fact that I had to fly from Regina to Vancouver. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news recently, but every couple months, a door comes off of an airplane mid-flight, or a helicopter ends up in the front of an airplane. I didn't used to worry about getting on flights. They used to be fun. Okay, they're still a little fun. But I worry so much more now about getting on airplanes because of the things that have been happening. When I left my office on Thursday last week, I seriously wondered whether I would stand in this room again. When I got up on Friday morning and left my house to drive to Vancouver, or sorry, to drive to Regina, I wondered if I would ever see my wife and my new baby again. I was anxious about it. See, our worries can be pretty intense and have serious ramifications. But, praise be to God, Jesus has spoken to us and given us the answer for dealing with our anxieties. And so, let's look back at the text that was read for us already, and starting at verse 25, see what Jesus' solution is for dealing with our anxiety. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious." There it is. Don't be anxious. Okay? So, won the service early, I guess. No, Jesus has more to say, for sure, and he's going to get to how. But simply put, this is what he has to say. Do not be anxious. And if we're to flip back through all the teaching from Jesus so far in the Sermon on the Mount, this is how he starts all of his teaching. He simply says, do not be angry. Don't lust. Don't get divorced. Don't make oaths. And love your enemies. See, Jesus is going to get to the how, just as he gets to the how in all those other teachings. But first, as he did with all these other commands, he's going to say don't, and then he's going to explain why. Why? Why start with why? The reason I think that Jesus starts with why is because I think the why is actually more important than the how. As we've been pointing to throughout this sermon series, and specifically the Sermon on the Mount, these are issues primarily of our wicked, sinful hearts. The how will not happen or help if our hearts are not transformed. And I believe it is the why, it's the why that this Holy Spirit uses to attack the sins of our hearts. It's the why that breaks off the stone and reveals the flesh beneath. For example, I have realized for myself, and I've explained this to guys that I've mentored, that when it comes to lust, you can apply the how of cutting off your metaphorical hand or gouging out your eye, but if your heart is not turned to Christ and to his righteousness, you will lose the other hand and the other eye. And you will lose so much more along the way. Our heart needs to be transformed before the how will be effective. Same goes for anger. I can come to terms quickly with my accuser, or I can seek to hash it out right away when I'm mad at someone. But if my heart will not forgive that person, it will harbor bitterness. I can sell all of my possessions in order to stave off greed, but if my heart is not changed, if I do not understand the why as to why I need to not be greedy, I will cling to the next dollar I make just as hard as that last dollar I reluctantly gave away. And so what about anxiety? Why and how should we avoid being anxious, worrying? I want to start by pointing out that the start of this passage begins with a therefore. Maybe you've heard me say this before, but when you see a therefore, you should ask yourself, wherefore is the therefore therefore? Okay? In ESV instead of KJV terms, why is the therefore there? Okay? What is it referring to? And in this passage, it's pointing back to last week's sermon. So the last passage that Darren preached on last week. In fact, part of the how has already been presented before the what of anxiety and the why. If you have laid up for yourself treasures in heaven and you care less for the things of this world, then you will worry less about the things that are passing away. And you will be able to have confidence in the things of heaven where God dwells. And this is part of how Jesus tells us not to be anxious. But then, he goes on to tell us don't be anxious, plain and simple. And then he doesn't go straight back to how. He goes into why. He says, look at the birds and look at the lilies. God feeds the birds daily. Does he not care for you more than the birds? God clothes the lilies and the grass of the field, and they are beautiful and healthy. Unless it's in Saskatchewan in the middle of August, but that's besides the point. Hey, we're talking about beginning of spring when all the snow melts. We're all picturing the lush green fields. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. Okay? That's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus says they are beautiful and cared for, and in fact, were in many ways more beautiful than Solomon in all of his splendor. If you go into the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, you read about Solomon and the splendor that he had, and it is beyond our own comprehension. And Jesus says, the grass is more beautiful than even Solomon was. And yet, the grass is cut off, and it's burned. If God clothes the grass that way, what about us? How does God then clothe us? See, Jesus is saying this to us. He's saying, anxiety? Don't. Why? Because look at how my Father cares for everything else in this world. He cares so deeply for everything else. And you, dear brother, you, dear sister, you of the line of Adam are the crown of creation. How much more does he care for you? You see, it's a matter of where we place the trust of our heart. And Jesus does not tell us, he's not telling us here, don't have concerns about anything. Okay? Notice this. It's quite the opposite. He's not saying you shouldn't have any concerns about food, or you shouldn't be concerned about where your clothing is going to come from, or how your body is going to be taken care of. In verse 32 and 33, if you look to the end of the passage, Jesus does tell us that these are things that the Father knows that we need. The Father knows we need these things. He knows that we need food. He knows that we need clothing. He knows that our bodies need to be healthy in order to do the works that he's set before us. It's not that we want them. It doesn't say the Father knows we want them. It says he knows that we need them. But then, in verse 33, he says, but first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus says the Gentiles spend their time worrying about these things. They pursue after them. That is their first focus. Where am I going to get my clothes? Where am I going to get my food? How am I going to care for my body? And Jesus says those are valid concerns, but seek first the kingdom of God, and the Father will add these things to you. He will provide the food. He will provide the clothing. And he will take care of our bodies. Jesus is giving us this Sermon on the Mount because he's teaching us how redeemed man ought to live. He's not teaching all these things that we should do in order to earn redemption. That's not what I'm saying. He is telling us what redeemed men and women, strive for in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus can tell us that when it comes to anxiety and lust and hate and anger and loving our enemies, well, not loving our enemies, but he tells us to love our enemies, but when it comes to lust, anxiety, hate, and anger, he can say don't do those things, because in Christ we can. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we can face those sins and say no. He's not calling us to work simply to earn the right to live with him. He's not calling us to avoid lust and anger and anxiety simply so that we can stand before the Father and say, I avoided all these things. Therefore, I can enter paradise. No, that ticket's been punched. Jesus punched that ticket on the cross for us. But now he's saying, these things, there's still sins that are weighing you down. And I want you to have life. Notice that in verse 27, he acknowledges this by stating, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? When we worry, we take off hours of our lives, hours that the Lord wants us to have enjoying him and pursuing his kingdom first. See, worry and anxiety, along with the other things that he's already spoken about, do not add time to our lives. It robs us of it. It is one of the tools of the thief, of the enemy, that Jesus speaks of elsewhere in the Gospels. Jesus says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Anxiety steals, kills, and destroys us. That is why Jesus tells us, don't. And it really is that simple. Stop letting lust and anger and hatred and greed and anxiety steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. Turn to Jesus and put your trust in him. Turn your heart to him. And the reason is because when we look at creation and we see how God cares for everything else, we can be assured that he cares for us more because we are the crown of creation. At a base level, it is that simple. Just don't. But as I already pointed to briefly, in verse 33, Jesus does give us a little more. He does tell us how. Verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The way to avoid anxiety is to turn our eyes first towards God and his righteousness. We must seek God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. We must look to his word for guidance on how to love our neighbor and our family. We must seek righteousness in managing our finances. We must seek him in how we ought to use our time and our resources. And we must entreat the Holy Spirit every step of the way to give us the power to do it. We must worship him, praise him, and rejoice in him for his provision of salvation and as provider of even our material wealth. In order to discuss this further, I actually want to turn to Philippians chapter 4. I invite you to turn there with me. In Philippians chapter 4, which is right after Ephesians and before Colossians, the Apostle Paul gives us further instruction on combating the temptation to be anxious, the temptation to worry about the valid concerns that we have. He speaks further to being anxious and losing our trust and faith in the power of and sovereignty of God. So let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. Apostle Paul says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. See, here the apostle gives us further direction on dealing with our worries, dealing with our anxieties. We could spend ages on this passage. I could have started with Philippians chapter 4, and we could have been here for the next 3 hours. But for the sake of time, I'm going to give you the points, the take-home points, rapid-fire-like, okay? So if you take notes, get that pen ready. Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Every moment of the day, rejoice in the Lord. Turn your gaze towards heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And with that, turn your mind to think on things that are true, honorable, just, and pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Turn your mind towards those things. In all things, no matter how big or how small, take your concerns to God with prayer and thanksgiving. He knows what you need before you ask, but he still wants us to take them to him. Because when we take our needs to him, it says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. When we take our concerns to him, when we take our anxieties and our worries to him, he gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. He will feed us according to our needs better than the birds of the air, and clothe us according to our needs better than the lilies and grass of the field, because he cares for us. He will care for us according to our needs. I like to point out that Jesus doesn't just preach this. There can be a temptation to look at this and go, that's great, Jesus. You were perfect. You were fully man and fully God, and you're telling me don't be anxious. And I get it that I have the Spirit inside of me, but this, I still fight against the sinful nature, and I still fail. I needed you to go to the cross because of it. That's great, Jesus. I want you to notice, though, that Jesus actually practiced this. In the Garden of Gethsemane, with the weight of the world about to be put on his shoulders, the sins of the world, past, present, and future, about to be placed on him, the concern of death facing him, he sweat blood over it. And he didn't just think that he might die, like I did flying to Vancouver. He knew he was going to die. He knew the cross was coming. But he did not stew over this valid concern. In his pain and in his agony over his concern, he took them to God in prayer. He asked God to take away from him this burden of the cross. But he turned his life over into the hands of the caring Father by saying, not my will, but yours be done. In this valid concern, this concern about pain, a concern over his body, he took it to the Father. He said, yet not my will, but yours be done. And going from there, he goes back to his disciples, and he's quickly faced with a mob that arrest him and take him before the Sanhedrin, and then before Herod, the king, and then before the governor, the Roman governor. And all throughout the rest of the story, we do not see a panicked Jesus. We see a Jesus at peace, silent before them, facing the cross. See, as I faced the possibility of death last weekend, is what I eventually resolved to do. After wasting precious moments of my life in anxiousness, I took my concerns for my family and for this church family to God. I prayed that I would make it home, and that if I did not, that He would care for all of you and for my family. Yet not my will, but His be done. I prayed when we took off, and I prayed when we landed. And to be completely honest with you, I didn't resolve to pass it all over to the Lord until I was sitting on the plane and we had taken off from Regina, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll start studying for the sermon that I'm going to preach next Sunday. And I start reading through this passage and I'm like, okay, God, I really need to put this into your hand. You put my family, and you put my church family, and you put all my worries and my concerns, which are valid, into your hands. Through my prayers, I had peace. But I also knew and had peace that God would have remained faithful had I perished. Praise be to God that He preserved me, but He would have remained faithful had I perished. I knew not just in my head, though I knew in my head the whole time, that God was faithful and I didn't need to worry. But as I prayed, that reality sunk into my heart and I had peace. That God would provide whether I lived or not. That He would care for you and that He would care for my wife and my baby. And you know what? God did not let me forget this once I landed and arrived safely back in Regina. Because as I was on my way home, I got an Apple News alert and realized that less than an hour after my Mitsubishi CRJ 900 aircraft that I rode from Vancouver to Regina landed safely in Regina, a different Mitsubishi CRJ 900 aircraft went rolling down the airstrip in Toronto. And God reminded me that that very easily could have been me. And God would have still been faithful. And that I still needed not to worry. Praise be to God that everybody in that plane crash is seemingly all right and is going to make it. See, we must take our anxieties to God with prayer and thanksgiving, rejoicing all the way that we might have life and have it to the full, that we might not be robbed and destroyed by anxiety. And so before I get to our questions this morning, or this morning I have a couple of challenges for you, before I get there, I do want to take a moment to address a couple of angles to this teaching from Jesus. The first thing that I want to address is the issue of clinical anxiety. The reason that I want to address this is because I feel that if I did not address this as your pastor, I would be concerned that a sermon like this might leave someone in this room feeling like their faith is not adequate because of their fight against anxiety every single day. And if that is you this morning, I want to remind you that it is not having concerns that is sinful. It is how we deal with them or indulge in them that is. Jesus fought his concerns to the point of sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was perfect, and he did win that battle. And you might lose that battle every single day. But there is grace for you. Jesus took that sin to the cross. My encouragement to you, if this is your situation, is not to tell you to throw out everything, every other thing that you use to help with that anxiety, The same way that if you broke your leg, I would tell you not to get a cast and just pray about it. But my encouragement to you would be to start with prayer. Start by going to the Father. Start by seeking Him first. My encouragement to you is that if you aren't seeking the Lord on this first, to start there. He might not take away your anxiety, but He will draw you near as a loving Father. He might not take away the concerns, but He will draw near to you. If you find yourself battling anxiety daily and you do seek the Lord daily, and you find that your level of anxiety doesn't go down whatsoever, it may be that the Lord has put this in your life for a reason. It may be a thorn in your flesh that God is going to use for His glory. My encouragement to you is that you continue to press further up and further into Christ. Seek Him first. Rejoice more. Pray with thanksgiving more. Turn your mind to the good and the true and the beautiful. It might not fix your issues. They still might remain every morning. But I promise that if you turn to Him first, it will help if you seek first the kingdom of God. Second thing that I want to make clear is that this passage that in this preaching from Jesus on the Mount is speaking specifically about anxiety in regards to our needs. Some of our worries are simply foolish. And they just need to be abandoned with rejoicing and prayer and thanksgiving. And in this, I think James, the brother of Jesus, actually has wise counsel for us on this. In chapter 4 of his book, the book of James, he has this to say. He says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." See, we must take our requests to God, even the ones that we might think are foolish. Because one way to learn if a concern is foolish is to take it to God and have Him refuse a request. Sometimes refusal is just a no for now, but sometimes it's just a no. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. In many cases, we do not have peace on these things because we do not ask. We think that these concerns do not concern God. As I mentioned at the beginning, we have three kids. Two have to be at a soccer practice. One has to be at a piano lesson. There's you and your wife, and you can't be in three places at one time. And you think, this is not a concern to God, and so I'm not going to take it to Him. Take that concern to God. Take it to Him. I'm not saying either way whether that specific example is foolish or not, but I think God will make it clear to you if it is. Take your concerns to Him. If we look back at Philippians chapter 4, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." You do not have because you do not ask. And then sometimes you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. Don't be afraid to be rejected by God. It can be a mercy. So brothers and sisters, we are by no means perfect at this. I am not perfect at this, as is evidenced by last weekend in my flights to and from Vancouver. As I said at the beginning, we all have concerns and we will all worry about them. But within this church, I am encouraged by the work that the Spirit has done and is doing among us. I've spoken with other pastors recently who have members of their congregation who are worried up the wall about tariffs. And so far within this church, now if you're worried, you can come talk to me, that's okay, but so far within this church, I haven't seen anybody worried up the wall about it. There seems to be a confidence within our congregation that the Lord will provide for us, that he will take care of us, come what may. I know that there are many of you who have concerns for loved ones that do not know the Lord. A valid concern, a need to be sure. But what have I seen you do with this concern? You guys pray. You take that concern to the Lord in prayer. You seek first God and his kingdom. You seek his righteousness. You rejoice in the sovereign will and mercy of God. So brothers and sisters, I encourage you to keep pushing on. Push further up and further into Christ when it comes to your concerns and your fight against worrying and anxiety. Be reminded that he cares for us, that we are the crown of creation. He cares for us more than the birds of the air and the grass of the field, and he cares deeply for those things as well. So keep turning your gaze to Christ, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So as I said, I have a couple of challenges for you this week. Number one, I encourage you to stop and take 5 minutes to examine a piece of God's creation and to meditate on how God cares for that. Whether it be birds, or the grass, or the trees, or the wind, or the clouds. Ponder how God cares for those things and reflect on what that means for how God cares for you. In our backyard at home, we have squirrels running all over the place all the time. I intend to take 5 minutes to watch them this week. In fact, a couple days ago, Allie and I were watching them out our back window, running up and down the trees while it was minus 30 outside. These tiny little things running around. I can't last 5 minutes outside in minus 30. Maybe that's because I'm from BC, but these tiny little things, God cares for them. He preserves them even in minus 30. It's just baffling. So take 5 minutes to examine a part of creation and meditate on what that means for how God cares for you. Number two, decide on one concern, either for the whole week or every morning, different one every morning, that you will take to God in prayer with thanksgiving. One concern that you will take to God every morning in prayer and thank the Lord for how he has provided for you. And number three, don't be anxious. Just kidding. I mean, don't be anxious, but there's a different number three. Okay? Number three, while you're praying for that one concern every morning, practice what the Lord taught us in his prayer by saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Three challenges. Take 5 minutes to ponder a piece of creation and meditate on what that means for how God cares for you. Two, take one concern to the Lord every morning. Even if it's 30 seconds, you don't need to pray for 20 minutes in the morning for God to hear you. One concern every morning with thanksgiving. And with that concern, practice saying, your kingdom come and your will be done. Yet not my will, but your will. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, you are great and wondrous and holy beyond comprehension. Thank you that your kingdom is being built. Thank you that you have called us into it. And that through the Spirit, We do not need to worry. We do not need to lust. We do not need to be angry. We do not need to sin anymore. For you have made a way. You have paid for our sins, past, present, and future, and you have given us the ability to just face these sins and say no. Thank you that you've revealed to us that we can avoid this by rejoicing, by taking the things to you in prayer. Thank you that you grant us peace. Help us, Lord, in all things to say, yet not my will, but your will be done. Father, I pray for this church family that you will give us our daily bread for today, and that every single person in this room will come to you each morning seeking the daily bread for each day this week. Grant it to them, Lord, that they might have peace from their current concerns. They might have peace instead of anxiety. Help those, Lord, in this congregation that struggle with clinical anxiety. Lord, would you take it from them, that they might experience peace like they've never experienced before. And yet, if not, Lord, that you would still grant them peace as they continue to wrestle with this thorn in their flesh. Father, may we glorify you and make much of your name and how we live our lives as believers in this city, that they may see the way that we deal with our concerns, that they may see the way that we love one another and the way that we love you, and that they would turn their eyes to heaven as well, that they would come into the fold, that they would join us here in this room on Sundays to worship and glorify you. Help us, Lord, as we seek to do your will and not our own, that you may receive all the glory in heaven and on earth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing these last two songs.